Hello, and thank you so much for listening today to the show. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and my name is Peter Alton, your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. Hope you've had a fantastic week. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We've got a lot in store for you as usual. We're going to spring off with any topics that I can find in the news over the past week to do with diabetes. So as usual, you will be able to look them up by going to the websites that I find them on to get more information on them. And I'm just going to be giving you a brief overview of each one just to give you a taste of what's been in the news. Anything that's of interest to you, go and check it out yourself. And then later on, I'm going to be rerunning an interview which I did a couple of years ago, which I had so many positive comments about that I thought, you know what, this actually needs to be listened to again. It's with a very special person. It's with my daughter, Jasmine, who you've heard on the show before. She has type 1 diabetes. And this was her preparing for, well, for a trip of a lifetime, really, going over to see some relatives of hers over in Uganda. Yeah, with type 1, it's not just a matter of packing your passport and a little bit of spending money and your clothes. There's a few other things to consider, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And I think you'll find it very useful, as particularly thought this would be appropriate as we are beginning to get back to some sort of normality and people are beginning to go on holidays. And if you've got type 1 diabetes, or if you're on insulin for that matter, and you are thinking of going on holiday, then have a listen to this interview, because Jazz does talk about a lot of the things that really we should be considering before traveling. Anyway, before we do that, we're going to listen to these news items, and I'm going to kick off actually with a bit out of character, really. It's going to be from a different source. It's one of the items that came up when I googled diabetes in the news, which I do most weeks. This one, it's very appropriate actually to what Jasmine is going through, because she does wear a pump, an insulin pump, and she does have a monitor, continuous glucose monitor. And this story, I actually found it on by Googling. It's a Daily Mail article. A guy called Jason Chester was writing it, I believe. And the title of it is Leela Moss, that's Kate Moss's daughter, of course, reveals the insulin pump she wears to moderate her diabetes. So this is on the catwalk, wearing this really quite scanty dress, actually. She's a 19-year-old, which is actually the age that Jazz was when we did this interview we're going to do later on. Anyway, Kate Moss, the supermodel, arrives on the red carpet at the Met Gala in New York City this week. And she was wearing, apparently, a sheer beige Burberry gown emblazoned with letters and numbers and encrusted in diamonds. But the outfit's sheer detailing drew attention to the insulin pod on her left hip and continuous blood glucose monitoring device on her upper right arm as she made her way into New York's iconic Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. So what's the point? Well, the point is, if you have got type 1 diabetes and you've never looked into getting an insulin pump, or for that matter, having a continuous glucose monitor, then it isn't something to be scared of. It's not something to be ashamed of. I take my hat off to Leela for actually deciding to show and not to be put off by the fact that she has to wear this thing. There's nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever. It's nothing to be frightened of, nothing to be embarrassed about. I hope anybody listening who does feel that way will take some strength from this example, will feel happier wearing these devices. I often wear a continuous glucose monitor on my arm anyway, and I've got type 2, as you know, and it's something which really gives you so much information about your condition. Type 1, I think it's totally invaluable. Type 2, it can be so helpful to know what your blood sugars are doing as a result of what you're eating, as a result of your activity. I can't encourage you enough to look into it. You can self-fund them if you're able to. You can try and get it on the NHS. If you're type 1, then you should be able to get it on the NHS. If you're type 2, that probably will be a little bit less easy. But you could always try to finance them. You don't have to finance it to have it every single week of your life. But even if you just take it for, you know, have a continuous glucose monitor on for a couple of weeks, it will give you a good picture of what's going on there. And about a month's supply of it, which is two of the pods, it's about £100, something like that. I know it's not an easy time at the moment to talk about money, but yeah, maybe there are some things, some sacrifices you can do at this point to really encourage your lifestyle to improve. The next item, very close to my heart, as you know, being a podiatrist and having Undefeated as a non-for-profit organisation, trying to help people prevent amputations. The next topic is a news item from BBC News, which the headline says, "Fear over high rates of diabetes foot amputations." Apparently, it's been shown that there's quite a difference in different postcodes and different different health authorities, different areas, and the rate of amputations that are taking place. Apparently, it found that 13 out of 135 local areas in England had significantly higher rates of foot amputations, varying as much as the lowest place, Harrow, having 3.5 per 10,000 people, while Blackpool had the highest at 16.8 per 10,000 people with diabetes. And of course, remember, 80% of foot amputations could be avoided with better care. We'll go on to the diabetes.co.uk's website now and have a look at their news items, which we do normally. And surprisingly, neither of those last two topics were picked up on there, but there are some other ones which are of interest. One of them is higher blood fats are more damaging than presumed. Apparently, research has revealed that higher level of blood fats in people with type 2 diabetes and obesity is much more damaging than previously presumed. For people with metabolic diseases, increased fat in the blood puts stress on muscle cells, and this reaction is caused by changes outside the cell which harm their structure and function. Apparently, there's been a study at the University of Leeds that has revealed that a signal is given off by stressed cells which is passed on to other cells. And these signals, called ceramides, could be beneficial short term as they are designed to reduce stress in cells. However, in metabolic diseases, which are long-term, these signals can kill the cells and worsen the symptoms and the illness. Another item is that a psychedelic drug could alleviate depression in the brain. And there's lots of warnings around this. Don't go taking your own. But apparently, there's a drug called psilocybin, which is a psychedelic drug found in magic mushrooms, has been shown to alter the brains of people with severe depression in a unique way. According to researchers, these results mean that the psilocybin could be used to treat depression in a way that other antidepressants are unable to. Some studies are being conducted to see how they can help with various mental health disorders. But people who have got depression are being warned not to take it on their own. The study uses a synthetic form of the drug under strict medical conditions and psychological support from experts before, during and after the drug is taken by participants. So do not go trying to source it yourself. Next one, we're all going to be rushing to get our tape measures. Apparently, updated guidelines suggest that people should measure their waist to ensure they don't have excess dangerous fat around their abdomen. Apparently, new guidance suggests keeping your waist circumference to less than half your height. Excess weight around the middle increases the likelihood of developing conditions such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and strokes. And NICE has revealed new draft guidance which suggests that some Asian and black ethnic groups are more susceptible to this kind of fat buildup around the waist. It's called central adiposity. Do remember all the articles that I am citing here can be found at the sources I've mentioned. The last few have all been from diabetes.co.uk. The next couple are as well. I'm just going to touch very briefly on one, which is a brand new Live Well frozen low carb meal range has been launched by the Low Carb Program. So again, if you want to find out more about that, then do go to the diabetes.co.uk's website and click on the news item and you'll see it there. And then the final one is that cannabis use during pregnancy puts child at risk of obesity and high blood sugar. This is a claim being made by some academics. Again, we're running out of time for this part of the show, so I'm not going to go into detail on that one. If you're interested in it, then do go to diabetes.co.uk as a website. Okay, it's that time in the show where we take a short break to listen to an advert or two from our station sponsors. Please listen in, and then we will be back to the topic of today very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was a couple of adverts from our station sponsors. You're listening to UK Health Radio and The Diabetes Show. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Let's get back to our topic of the week. We're going to go into a song now, and then after that, we're going to get this extra special guest on that I told you about earlier, and I'll reveal who it is after the song. And the song we're going to listen to is, it's chosen by our extra special guest coming up. The song is Beyoncé, And I Was Here.
I wanna leave my footprints on the sands of time. No, there was something that meant something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember, so they won't forget I was here. I lived, I loved, I was here. I did, I've done everything that I wanted, and it was more than I thought it would be. I will leave my mark so everyone will know
That was Beyonce and I Was Here. And you're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. And I shared earlier on that we had an extra special guest on the show. I probably should have put an extra in there because she is extra special. And of course, it has to be my lovely, gorgeous 19-year-old daughter, Jasmine.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Jazz.
Thank you.
You're becoming a bit of a regular here. You've been on, I think it's the third time we've had you on now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you were on the debut one and then another time. I can't remember what we talked about that time. But we've been prompted to get you on this time because there's something exciting happening in your life.
Yeah.
You've done a bit of traveling already, which has been quite an exciting thing for you, I think. And you're becoming a bit of an expert, I believe, in leaving these shores.
Well.
Tell the listeners where you're off to this time.
So I'm off to Uganda for 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yep.
2.5 weeks in Uganda. And you're not going to be staying in the city, are you? You're going to be...
No, I'm going to be in a village. I'm going out to visit some family. So I'll be staying in my family's village with them.
Right, okay. And you really aren't sure exactly what to expect. You've been there before when you were very little.
Yeah, I went when I was 5. So I remember a few things, but I mean, that was a long time ago. So times have changed. So I'm not really sure what it's going to be like. I'm a bit nervous, but excited at the same time.
And I know your elder sister, Crystal, was there a couple of years ago. So at least she's got a little bit of info on what to expect.
Yeah.
But for those listeners that haven't heard you on the show before, tell them why we're having you on the diabetes show.
Well, I have type 1 diabetes. So, I was diagnosed in 2011, September. And, I still have it, of course.
Yeah, they haven't got that cure yet, but we're praying for it and believe it will happen. So you've got type 1 diabetes. As I mentioned earlier, you've traveled recently. You had spent about ten months out in Spain. And obviously there were some challenges there, I guess, from just a different environment.
Yeah, language barrier, change in system.
I mean, even the lifestyle change as well, because they tend to eat later and things, don't they?
They eat later, and there's for me there was quite a few carbs. Like, they have a lot of bread out there, so it's quite a increase in insulin.
Right, okay. Because you increased the amount of carbs you were eating. Going to Uganda, of course, is, I guess, a different kettle of fish because it's a less developed country, and particularly the area you're going to be going to. Are you nervous about going?
Yes, for many reasons. It depends what area.
We're not talking snakes and spiders. Are you nervous about that?
I'm definitely nervous about that. Terrified. In terms of my health.
Yeah, I guess, yes.
I am quite nervous, partly because I don't know what to expect. I mean, I don't know how good the hospitals out there are if something was to happen, the hygiene, and the even simple things as such as access to sugary snacks and foods in case I have a hypo, things like that. So I am... I'm nervous. Very okay. Nervous.
So that's what scares you the most, really. It's the unknown, I suppose, and the unknown, and the fact that you know that things, you know, hypos and hypers can come along, and not really knowing whether you're going to have the facilities to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've looked at some things to try and minimise the scare factors, I think. Mm. And, you know, we've got a couple more days before you leave as well. So I think we'll be getting some supplies in and what have you, and some last minute planning. And I think really planning is the critical thing. It's planning for to be successful whilst you're away. What are some of the things that you would advise other people, particularly with type 1, to do if they're planning a trip like this?
Well, I think it's very important, first of all, to plan in advance. Usually when I'm traveling, like within the EU, for example, I leave my packing and my planning to the last minute. Whereas this trip, I knew I need to be extra organized. So I started planning stuff and getting medication in a month before I'm flying out.
And your suitcase is already packed, is it?
No, but health-wise, it's important. My clothes, I still do that to the last minute. Okay. But my medication and things and injections and jabs, I've had done well in advance. Could you repeat the question again,
please? No, it's fine. You're doing well. Let's go through some of the things that I've picked up online, which I know that you've done some of them. One was that a month or so ago, when you returned to the UK, you went and saw your GP. Mm. And something which is advised you did was getting a letter from them. Can you explain what that was all about?
Oh, yes. So some of you may hear or may have even experienced having problems going through airport security with medications, especially in large quantities. So for me, getting a letter from my GP just makes life so much more easier. It removes any unnecessary stress from my life, which is the last thing I want when traveling abroad, especially to another continent. So every time I travel, whether it's to Spain, America, France, Africa, no matter where, how close or far, just for that peace of mind, knowing that I have proof to say that I have type 1 diabetes and I'm able to carry these medications with me, because the last thing you want is to be going through airport security, your pack's ready to go and they don't allow you to go through with all your medication, which in my case would be a very bad situation to be in, seeing as I need this medication to live. Yeah.
It would be extremely stressful, and stress itself isn't good for blood sugar levels and diabetes control. So any of us going through an airport know how stressful it can be. Okay, so thanks for that. So that's something very early on to get organized, because we all know how long it takes to get a doctor's appointment. So you get the doctor to write a letter just saying that you have got type 1 diabetes, and that should help you out. Something else to think about, I suppose, is where you're going to be staying, what availability of food is it going to be? Is it going to be a really high carb diet or whatever? Have you given any thought to that?
I have. My sister was, as we have said, she was staying in Uganda for a couple months, about a year or two ago. And so she like has informed me of what type of foods we'll be eating. There's rice and what we call chapatis, which are like, I don't know how to explain them. They're really nice. So I'm aware of how much like carbs roughly I'll be having. And it's pretty similar to what we eat at home, I suppose.
Yeah, because we sometimes have African food here. So you are used to the effects of it. But I guess it's not knowing what proportion will be carbs when you're out there, how much rice there'll be. But yeah, and it's going prepared, knowing what, and if you were going to a different country, you'd probably want to do a bit of research on some of their foods and find out.
I also have the Carbs and Cows app and book, which that they have quite a few foods from various countries in the world. So I find that quite useful. So I'll be taking one of. I won't have any Wi-Fi connection, no data, nothing. So I'll be taking the book with me to make sure that I have access to that in case I need to look up a new food.
Okay, that's good. Although the book's probably a bit hefty, a bit more luggage to carry. You need an extra suitcase.
It's worth it.
it's worth it, definitely. I suppose something else that's important would be knowing the availability of things for if you're going to hypos, so sugary snacks that are available now, probably a lot of places nowadays you can get sugary snacks, but I don't know, in a village in the middle of Africa?
I'm not too sure. I know there's a little like shop stall near my grandma's house where I'll be staying, and there is a supermarket somewhere, but I'm not too sure. And I don't know, like, I don't know what type of food and snacks, sugary snacks they provide. So what I'm going to be doing is taking some little cartons of orange juice and some sweets, just to have, just in case there's not anything there. So something that I can just keep by my bedside. So if worst case scenario happen, I have a hypo, I have something with me.
Yeah, because if you go low, generally you go low at night time, don't you?
Yeah.
So having something by the side of the bed is pretty important.
Yeah, especially when I have bad hypos.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Stocks of medication. It's recommended, I think, that you take extra beyond what you would normally need. Can you explain why that is and how much extra it's advised?
To be honest, I don't actually know how much is advised. I always take like maybe 3 times the amount that I need just to be on the safe side.
You take 3 times the amount of shoes you need, of clothes you need.
But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, for example, I'm traveling quite far. My flight could be delayed and maybe I can't get on another flight for another week. And so if I haven't got that week's worth of insulin, that's a situation, that's a problem. Like you never know what's going to happen. I could fall ill, or I could like have hypers every day and I'm therefore using more insulin. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So it's better to be safe than sorry. I mean, it's never a bad thing to have too much, but to have too little or not enough that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, I will be taking a lot of my medicine.
Okay, and of course, a lot of it is liquid as well, the insulin. And are you aware that it shouldn't go in the hold?
Yes, I'm aware. I forgot when I found that. I found out, I think it wasn't that long ago, a couple of years ago maybe. And I'd been putting some of my insulin in the hold already. I mean, luckily for me, nothing had gone wrong. But then I found out that putting insulin in the hold can actually freeze it because the temperatures go so low. So now, for the past couple of years, I've been traveling with my medication in my hand luggage anyway, just in case my hold luggage gets lost. But it's also not advised at all to put any insulin or liquid medications in the hold because of what the temperatures can do, how they can affect them.
Yeah, that's something I wasn't really aware of until recently myself, actually. So
I had a problem actually when I came back from Spain, because I was rushing to pack, and I put my insulin in an ice pack, in a lunchbox, like a freezer, I don't know what to call them, with an ice pack in it, but I forgot to put a cloth over the ice pack. And one of my insulin pens, which was right next to this ice pack, actually froze and broke.
Oh, right. Didn't tell me that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that's just absolute evidence why you don't want to put it in the hold.
It was completely, like, useless. There was no way I could use it. It had shattered the glass and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Luckily, it was only one pen, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want that going out on holiday somewhere if you hadn't got
extras.
So that's a really important point. Hopefully, listeners with type 1 are finding that very useful. Talking about that, taking ice packs and a cool bag with you is important, because when you're in a hot country, of course, you've got to try and keep the insulin cool, although not frozen. So that's something, and I suppose being aware of whether or not you're staying in the village, whether there is a freezer there to keep the ice packs cold, or a fridge to keep the insulin in. Okay. What else should we talk about? Anything else that you've thought of that can be useful? I think, there's something you've done quite recently, which is important.
Well, I recommend this for no matter where you're traveling, travel insurance. Travel insurance, it's something that is so easy to forget, especially when we live in such a privileged country like England, where we have free healthcare. It's so quick to forget that like there's countries where in the world where you don't have free access or as good access to medical help. So yeah, I would 100% recommend that. When I was living in Spain, sorting out my health, sign up for the doctors was the most important thing. When I'm traveling abroad, whether it be to Africa, America, I always make sure that I have my travel insurance because you never know, like I said, what's going to happen. There's so many factors that can affect your sugar levels. And the last thing you want to do is be in a foreign country where you don't really know your way around and you end up in a hospital and nothing to cover you. I mean, you really don't want to be in that situation. So just having that peace of mind and that safety and security is so important for me.
Yeah, it may cost a little bit more, although there are companies that do seem to do preferential rates for people with diabetes, so it's worth checking that out.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I think I paid about £30 for my travel insurance. Mm. I mean, £30 is nothing compared to the thousands of pounds I could maybe have to pay if I didn't get my travel insurance and ended up sick.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So that was good. Yeah. Okie dokes. Now then, the next one, this is something which I think is really important it's making sure that other people with you know that you have got diabetes. Mm. Can you expand a little bit on the importance of that?
Yeah. So luckily for me, I'm traveling with my sister and my brother-in-law. So they are very well aware of what I have, my diabetes, and how to cope with my hypers and hypos and what to do if something was to go wrong. However, we although we're going together as a group, you never know, they may want to go off for the day and do something different to what I want to do, or I might stay at home, or I might go out. And so it's important that the people around me, whether it be my family or friends and cousins and aunties and uncles, whoever it is that I'm with, knows that I have diabetes and knows what to do in case I do have a hypo or a hyper, and like just like if the symptoms that I have, just so they can be alert and aware, and it gives me peace of mind and also them, because the last thing you want is someone collapsing on you and you have no idea what it is. So it's very important. It's just I do it not just when I'm abroad and traveling, but when I get a job. Previous jobs, I've always let my manager, my co-workers know, like, I have diabetes, this is the situation, this is what you do. And I always have like a spare stash somewhere and let people know where my injections are. When I'm out with my friends, maybe for the night, I'll let them know, this is where my injection is, if you need to do it, this is where it will be. Just so you know, just try to stay safe.
Yeah, that's important. And maybe having an ID tag on somewhere, bracelet or necklace or whatever it might be.
Yeah, they're really useful as well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
it's that time in the show where we take a short break to listen to an advert or two from our station sponsors. Please listen in, and then we will be back to the topic of today very shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was a couple of adverts from our station sponsors. You're listening to UK Health Radio and The Diabetes Show. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Let's get back to our topic of the week.
All right. So the listeners probably are aware of my profession, that I am a podiatrist.
Yeah.
Hopefully I have taught you a few things and drilled a few things into you. I think the next few things that you want to say, maybe, he says... maybe relating to safety with your feet whilst on holiday with type 1 diabetes. So,
yes. So for me, it's not just on holidays all the time. but it's very important to keep my feet clean and safe. However, no matter how clean and safe and careful you are, there can sometimes be problems that occur. For example, simple things is like in the house, I wear slippers around the house all the time. However, the other day I was putting my foot in my slipper and I was like, what is this thing at the bottom of my slipper? And I have quite thick-soled slippers that I wear around the house. And I take the shoe off because this thing is not coming out of my slipper. I pick it up and there's this like massive piece of glass which had come through the bottom of the sole through to the surface of the slipper. I mean, thankfully for me, it didn't cut me. But something has like... it's not simple because that's not an everyday thing, but something is like little cuts and splinters or blisters on the feet can easily go like transpire into an infection. Like you never know what's going to happen with these things. So for me, what's important on this trip is taking the right footwear. But also, I mean, I'm going to be in a hot country. I'm going to want to wear sandals. So being careful about that and where I'm walking, but also taking like something as simple as blister plasters to avoid rubbing and blisters forming, and antiseptic that's yeah. It antiseptic creams, just in case, you know, just to be cautious, because you never know. Like sometimes I might walk into something, bash a nail, and it gets a bit inflamed, and just having something to calm it down and to keep it as safe as possible while I'm abroad.
Yeah, absolutely. A small cut on the foot can
especially
can go
for
bad
type one.
Very quickly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okie dokes. Now then, the other thing, which of course most people do think of when they go abroad to places such as Africa, is those dreaded little
mosquitoes.
And most people think about it along from the point of view of malaria. But it's also unpleasant. You've got the malaria stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you've checked with the doctor and the pharmacist on which one to have, which is best
tablets,
for type
yeah.
1 and et cetera. Obviously, it's important to get that and to take it before and take it afterwards. People know that. But it's also just horrible getting bitten by mosquitoes, even in this country, so let alone over there, just from the point of view of them itching and what have you. So... obviously, you get your insect repellent, you get your, I'll use a brand name, Jungle Formula or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You plaster it on you. But a lot of people don't think to put it on one part of their body. And that is often a place which, when you're in a hot country, is actually exposed, and that's your feet. Mm-hmm. They put it on their arms, their legs, but they don't put it on their feet. And I don't know if you have you ever had a mosquito bite on your feet. Or...
well, I get them when I was in Spain. I got a lot of bites around my ankle, and so I always sprayed my feet just to try and like keep them away from that area, because I got them really bad on my ankles and it really was annoying.
Mosquitoes are clever. They know where the veins come to the surface. They know where there's plenty of easy access blood. And around the ankle is one of those places, and they do seem to go for the ankles. So it is worth putting the insect repellent, yeah. Oh, thank you. On there to stop them biting there, because there's nothing worse than having that. Well, there is something worse. There is something worse than having an itchy insect bite on your ankle, and that's an insect bite where you've scratched it and then an infection gets in, and that's much worse. So I would stress that for anyone, but particularly with diabetes, to make sure that you don't end up getting a complicated
infection. Don't neglect the feet.
Don't neglect the feet, yes. Don't forget the feet need your love and attention. Okay, I think we've pretty much exhausted it. Was there anything else you had in mind to share with listeners on the travelling lark?
I think, like, for example, not just thinking of, think of your diabetes, of course, but look into, like, for example, I don't know how to put this into words. I went to the doctors and I had a long discussion with my diabetic nurse about the possible problems that could occur while I'm out there. And one thing they said is, like, for example, diarrhea tablets.
Oh,
take
yes,
things
yes.
like that. Rehydration tablets, mm-hmm. Which is so important. I mean, you never, like I said, like I keep saying you never know what's going to happen. I know that things like the change in climate and temperature can affect my sugar levels. And when you're sick as well, it affects your sugar levels quite a bit. And I mean, there's so many things. I mean, having a side effect from the malaria tablets or eating something that's a bit funny can affect your stomach. And then when you're having problems with that area, it's very easily affects your level. So just having these things that may not necessarily be directly linked to your diabetes, but if they did occur, which is quite possible, how it could then affect your diabetes. So looking outside the diabetes box and that general problems that could happen. So yeah.
General problems that can happen and be unpleasant for some people, but actually can make something much more complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that one up. The other point I would just add as well is, and you've already mentioned taking extra supplies of the insulin, and I assume you mean extra supplies of the
glucagon, testing strips, ketone strips, glucagel, everything. Sharps, pin, needles.
When it comes to the, you need an extra suitcase, don't you, really? When it comes to the testing, I think it's extra important to test more frequently.
Definitely.
However unpleasant that might be. And I suppose that's something which, you know, maybe looking into getting the Freestyle Libre or something like that going forward might make life a bit simpler.
It could do. And I'm all for it. I'm hoping to get one myself. But I also think that you can't always be, like, you never know, you could, like, catch it on something. I don't know, because I haven't had one, so I don't know. But I think even if you are on something like the Libre, taking some actual finger prick test strips mm-hmm. with you, a good supply of those just in case, because you don't know what's going to happen.
No, you can't totally rely on technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point, yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I think we've pretty much exhausted everything there. I suppose the key thing to say is have a fantastic time. Enjoy yourself. Don't let your diabetes ruin your holiday. Take control of your diabetes. Stay in the diabetes sweet spot. Keeping safe. And just really have a fantastic time with your family out there.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for sharing today as well.
It's okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Jasmine and her views on traveling with type 1 diabetes. And actually, before we say total goodbye to her, it was a bit rude of me earlier on because we played the song by Beyoncé, which was called
I Was Here,
yes. And Jasmine had chosen that song. So I'm just going to ask her why she chose that song.
Well, partly because I love Beyoncé. Sometimes, you know, I feel down and I can't be bothered. I'm just like, oh, just feel really like low. And I don't remember when I came across I Was Here, but I remember the first time I listened to it and it really just like inspired me to want to make a difference in this world and like leave my mark, whether it be like just touching one person's lives or 1,000 people, like but just leaving a mark, you know, like doing my bit to make this world a better place. And I just, every time I'm low, I listen to it and it really just uplifts me and just really makes me like, really be like, you know what, Jasmine, like, come on, you can do this. Like, you're not alone and you're going to make a difference in this world.
Well, you've been doing that on the show today by making a difference in the listeners' lives. So thank you. And we're pretty much near the end of the show now. We're going to close out with another song that you've chosen.
Yeah.
And you can say why you've chosen it if you want, or it may just, well, whatever the reason is. What's the name of the song and who's it by?
So this song is called I Am Light by India Ari. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. This is a song I've been listening to a lot for the past couple of years. And again, it's a song that inspires me. And it talks about the way I interpret it is like these things that people often use to define themselves or that other people define them by. But she's like singing about like, I am not these things that have happened to me or these things that I've did or these things that I've said, but I am like who I am type of thing. And I mean, sometimes like we make mistakes or we go through stuff that's hard, but it doesn't have to define us. And it's a beautiful song. Both of the songs for me, I love them. I was here and I am light. Two like amazing songs that really help me. So yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing them.
Hope you guys enjoy them.
Let's get straight into it. India Avi and I Am Light. And that's it for this week, folks. You have been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. All that remains is for me to be able to say to you, have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetic sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.